Into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him. Yeah, no.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
Now, I'm delighted to welcome our next guest all the way from Sydney, 11-time All-Ireland winner with Cork's Footballers, now gearing up for her first year in the AFLW. It's Breed Stack. Breed, good evening. Happy New Year to you.
Neil, how are you keeping? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I know anyone who follows you on social media knows that your Christmas and New Year was a strange one. It was strange for everyone on this side of the world, but in particular for you, you had quite a strange one in quarantine in Australia, gearing up for getting back to normal life down under. It wasn't just yourself in a hotel room as well. You're there with your husband and your one-year-old son as well. That is that's a tough Christmas. That's a strange Christmas, I have to say.
Yeah, I know. I actually think the thought of the quarantine with the three of us kind of in the one room, I think the thought of it was nearly worse than actually doing it. And to be honest, the small fella was absolutely brilliant throughout it all, and probably made it go a little bit quicker for us because we were just so busy with him day in, day out. And I suppose we had a good routine as well. And there was strength and conditioning programs being sent into us as well from the club. So, you know, we were keeping active as well during the day. There was kind of an old school bike now, in fairness. There was a set of 12 kg dumbbells, and there was a 12 kg kettlebell and maybe an exercise band put into the room. So while it mightn't have been probably what we would have been used to doing, it kind of kept us ticking over as much as possible during kind of the two week period. And I think it was probably only until day 13 that I really found day 13 long, but I think it was just because, you know, we were getting out the next day and we were all very excited about it. But so it was great to meet the girls when we all opened the doors of the corridor, and we were all kind of on the same corridor. So myself, Cora, you know, the girls that are playing with Collingwood, Sarah and Aisling, there was Aileen Gilroy, and there was Ailish Considine. And there was a good shot of us now, and It was good to come out of it, and just kind of we experienced a small bit of Perth then as well. We actually had to quarantine in Perth, so we were due to quarantine in Adelaide, and we got redirected last minute to Perth. So we've had a little bit of a tour of Australia at the moment, so we kind of stayed in Perth for two nights, and then we were due to fly to Sydney, but unfortunately, there was a small cluster outbreak in Sydney, so we got redirected to Melbourne. So we flew to Melbourne then, and had a couple of days there and did a bit of training with the girls that were based in Melbourne. And then we were due to fly to Sydney. But again, that got kind of scuppled as well. So I'm actually here in Albury, which is just a border town just outside the Victoria border. So it's within New South Wales, but just outside the Victoria border. So I haven't made Sydney yet. So I'm hoping to get there in another couple of weeks.
God, yeah, it's just like, I mean, the crazy process of you know, joining up to a new club. It's almost like the stories you hear of, you know, the rugby tours in the 1950s, where they're getting a boat over the course of about 6 weeks to get down to Australia or something like that. It's the modern equipment, it feels like, isn't it?
Yeah, it actually took us 3 days to even get to Perth. Like, it was just... Oh my God. Like it was the only flight that was kind of guaranteed. And then when we actually did get on it, like there was so many delays and stopovers. So yeah, it was a long stint traveling and then into quarantine. So we were ready and raring to get out of quarantine definitely when it finished out.
And I suppose just the big question coming out of the quarantine is, you are still married, yeah?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, still hanging on. The marriage is still strong. We actually got a double kind of an adjoining room. So I think, you know, that probably saved us as well a bit. Like whenever he needed a bit of quiet time, he went into the other room and likewise. So such is grand. And the bike got absolutely torn apart whenever, you know, maybe frustrations are a bit high, like, you know. So like in fairness, he was outstanding throughout it all, Mark, my husband. And yeah, as I said, I think the small fella probably kept us sane because we were just so busy with him, and sure, all his Christmases came at once when mom and dad were so readily available for 2 full weeks. So we can't complain at all.
I imagine, like, what was at the end of the period of quarantine when you're getting outside, that first hit of fresh air, what did that feel?
I wouldn't
like
even call it fresh air now. We stepped out the door and it was like walking into a furnace in Perth. I think the temperature was something like 37, 38 degrees that day. It was absolutely cruel. We were nearly running back into the hotel. But and like that was probably at about 4 o'clock in the evening. So I don't know how fair play to the girls that are based in Perth. There's Ash Mack and the two Kellys from Mayo are based in Perth. And my God, the heat. Oh, I'm sorry, and Anya Tai as well, actually. She's Fremantle. The four girls, I don't know how they play every single day in that heat. It was absolutely cruel. But so it was nice to see Perth. It's a lovely, lovely city. And then we moved down to Melbourne, which is kind of a bit like Ireland. The you don't know what you're going to get. You could get four seasons in one day in Melbourne. So you always kind of carry a jumper around with you. So that was different then again to Perth. But we're in Albury at the moment, which has lovely weather, but it's very dry heat as well. So training has been tough as well. Like it's going to take a while, I think, to get to the pitch of the climate, definitely.
So have you trained with the actual club itself yet, or are you still just kind of waiting to get to Sydney? Are you kind of training with a bunch of the players at the moment, is it?
Yeah, so what happened was I was training with a very small bunch in Melbourne, so maybe there might have been about six of us. And then what happened is the whole team is after getting relocated here to Albury for a training hub for 2 weeks. So basically the whole team is here. So it's like being in a training camp, and it's probably a great situation for me because I get to meet everyone all at once, and I get to, I suppose, have a lot of time with people and a lot of time with coaches. And I'm delighted with the situation. I know it probably is, it has probably turned a few girls on their head because, you know, a lot of the team are still working. So they had to try to take time off work and things like that and leave family and try to sort out rent and everything. So I can imagine it probably was a bit of a headache for a lot of the team. But, thankfully, we're just going with the flow at the moment, and we're in a training hub now. So I've had two sessions with the full team. So I suppose our third session now is tomorrow, and we'll train away for these 2 weeks together. And then I think we actually have to move on to another hub. So I think until the numbers are completely zero down in Sydney, I'm not sure we'll be back to Sydney for another couple of weeks yet. So we'll wait and see.
And obviously this is all pre-season. Like, is this proper pre-season training, or are you doing, you know, ball work? Because obviously I imagine, you know, it's completely new for you. You want to kind of get your hand on the football as quick as you can and try to actually like get to play the game. But is it mainly pre-season work at the moment?
So I think they've kind of completed about 2/3 of the pre-season at the moment. Okay. So while there is a lot of conditioning still in each of the sessions, there is, it's a lot of ball work, and there seems to be a lot of footy drills as well, which is brilliant. So there's a good mix between the two, but definitely there's an awful lot of conditioning, in each of the training sessions. So I suppose even that, you're inside in quarantine for 2 weeks. I do think it is probably very testing on the body. You're not moving anywhere remotely like you would be, you know, when you're outside training. So it's probably like a lot of the girls, there was probably 3 or 4 girls that actually had to quarantine when they came from Melbourne to Sydney, and they found that it took them about 2 weeks to get to the pitch of training again, just after the 2 weeks kind of where you're on a much reduced load and you're only allowed a certain amount of weight kind of to come in. So you can only do so much with 12 kg dumbbells and 12 kg kettlebells. So I probably need another 2 or 3 sessions before I really get to the pitch of it. I'm finding the ground really, really hard. I suppose what I was training on from home was a lot softer. Yeah. But so the ground is very hard, finding it difficult on the calves and things like that. And I suppose, you know, myself and Cora definitely had a small bit of a issue with hip flexors after all the bike sessions inside in quarantine. So it's just about managing load now at the moment, and just trying to get a good couple of KMs, you know, in the legs, and get a lot of football through the hands. So it's going well at the moment. We've two sessions under our belt, and hopefully in the next, you know, two or three sessions, we'll feel back to normal. So looking forward to everything.
On a personal level, were you nervous going into that first session? Because I imagine, like, your whole football life in Ireland, like football and the GA community in Ireland, it's spread out around the country, but it's a very close knit kind of family. And I would imagine throughout all your years playing, you weren't in this kind of new team environment where you weren't used to meeting new people, or even completely far from it as well. A completely new sport as well. So what were you feeling like going into that first session?
Definitely nervous. I suppose I tried to make sure that my concentration level was high, because I didn't want to mess up in any drill. And I suppose the way it's set up, it is very, it's very systematic here. And it's like, there seems to be a lot of meetings before your actual training session. So there's a meeting beforehand to actually run through what is going on in the session. So I just made sure I really concentrated when they were explaining each of the drills, and just tried to make sure I positioned myself correctly then when I was in the drills. But thankfully the girls have been absolutely wonderful, so welcoming to me, so encouraging. And like, you know, even in the drills, you know, if I wasn't maybe in the right position, they just tell me straight away where I need to be. I'm really willing to learn. I know it is a different game to football, but a lot of the principles are the same. But it's just, I suppose, getting used to the terminology and getting used to the positioning is probably and the tackling is probably the biggest things.
Yeah, the positioning was something I was going to ask you as well. First of all, I suppose, do you know what position you are going to be playing in primarily? And also then maybe in the months leading up to this, would you have been watching a lot of, you know, tape of matches and stuff like that, trying to figure out the flow of the game? Because I'm sure in large parts it actually probably does flow similar enough to maybe a standard football game in Ireland. But just to kind of figure out where people are moving and, you know, the direction the ball's going at various stages and things like that.
Definitely. We watched an awful amount of AFLW matches. We've watched an awful lot of AFL matches, and I think there's a channel here, Fox Footy, and we're watching that every single evening as well, myself and Cormac. So there's a lot of golden old classics on there now at the moment, so we're watching all of them. I suppose it's just try to keep communication high as well with the head coach. Is absolutely brilliant, Alan McConnell, and he, like, you know, while I was in quarantine, he went through a good lot of, I suppose, positioning and things like that, terminology, just trying to get me up to speed before I actually came into my first session. So that was very helpful. I will play absolutely anywhere, so I don't mind where he puts me. But I think he is looking for me in the back line. So I suppose hopefully it won't be too much of a big transition between what I would be used to. Hopefully, you know, being able to use my strength and maybe use my height and just speed, hopefully, as much as possible to spoil and just bring ball out as quickly as possible. I suppose it's just a case of just go with the flow at the moment and just try to take in as much as possible. And I suppose not to be paralyzed by trying to stay in correct positions the whole time, where, you know, you have to kind of try to play with a bit of flair as well, and kind of, it's not too dissimilar, I think, in the back line, whereas maybe in the forwards, it's maybe a different kettle of fish and probably harder for girls from Ireland to come into the forward position. But in the backs, it seems that it's not hopefully too much of a jump, but I could be proven to be wrong there.
Time will tell. One other thing you mentioned, obviously, you have to get used to, is aside from the shape of the football, which is the big one, but the tackling is a huge one as well. And I imagine with the position you're probably going to be playing in as well, in defence, it's going to be even more vital that you have that nailed down. What has that been like so far?
So I suppose when I was in Melbourne with the couple of girls, we kind of just stuck to a lot of football-based drills. And then the first session out was actually at 10:30 in the morning here. So it was really, really hot. And there was a lot of conditioning, a lot of football, but We didn't do any tackling the first day, and then bang, the second day there was an awful amount of contact and an awful amount of conditioning. So it was kind of a baptism of fire with the tackling, but yeah, so everybody's a small bit sore today, and I suppose it's just a case of just trying to get completely used to it. We're training in kind of bundles of 10 now as well at the moment, so just I suppose a new rule that was brought in just because the Melbourne-based teams have to train in groups of 10. So now every team in the AFLW has to train in groups of 10. So thankfully I'm in with all the backs. So I'm learning, you know, even after one session, like the girls are just nonstop talking to me. And I suppose even a couple of hard hits and you find out where is best position to put your head, put your hands, and, you know, how I suppose physical that you do need to be inside in the tackles. So learning a lot, and I'd say probably I'll have a lot of sore bodies in the coming weeks, but hopefully I'll get to grips with that. And it's a case of maybe try hit first and not be hit second.
Yeah, I think it's probably a case of you learn how to do it the right way by doing it the wrong way. Doing it the wrong way once. And then you'll know not to do it again.
Yeah. Gum shielding anyway, I'd say.
Absolutely. As you mentioned as well there earlier on as well, like Cora Staunton is the other Irish player with you over there at the moment with Greater Western Sydney. She obviously arrived, as you were saying, finished up the quarantine at the same time as well. How much would you have been speaking to her in the lead up to it, even just to find out about the other people on the team, the coaches, just the setup and what to expect?
Yeah, I was. I was flat out on to Cora, and in fairness, she has been absolutely wonderful to me. I couldn't be more thankful to her for everything that she's done to me. She's been absolutely wonderful. And I suppose the thing is, when we left Perth, we both ended up going to Melbourne. So, you know, she introduced me to five or six of the girls straight away, and you know, we all hung around together for a good couple of days. So that was fantastic, you know, even meeting those few girls before, you know, being being welcomed by the whole team. So it maybe was a little bit less daunting then when I had the first meeting with the whole team. And as I said, we were training kind of in groups of 10, so it meant that I already met maybe three or four of the backs. So while Cora was with the forwards, I already had a couple of girls that I already knew, so it definitely made it so much easier. She's really made it very, very easy for me to settle into the club. And I suppose she's very, very much respected here. And, you know, I just hope that I can do myself justice and kind of, I suppose, do my family justice and I suppose merit being brought over.
So, as you said, they're kind of maybe two thirds of the way through pre-season at the moment. When is the season officially due to start? All things going to plan, obviously, with COVID, because last year, you know, things can be thrown up in the air, but all things going according to plan, what's the layout of the season going to be looking like?
Yeah, well, so normally I think it starts the first week in February, but this season it has been brought forward a week, so it's the end of January. So the last week in January is supposed to be the first round of the season. So I suppose, yeah, like it's going to be a lot of moving parts at the moment, because we were due to be playing Fremantle, who are Perth-based, and the West Australian border is actually closed at the moment, just because there has been that small cluster outbreak in Sydney, and there was maybe three cases in Melbourne, but they're really proactive here. They just shut down borders straight away. So the Western Australia border is closed at the moment, which means that if Perth travel out, they may not be allowed to travel back in. So so I suppose we're kind of just kind of rolling with it from week to week and seeing what actually comes of it. But that's what's due to happen at the moment. We're due to play Fremantle the last week in January. So it's all kind of gearing up towards that. We were due to have a test match, so it's basically like a challenge match, the week before. And again, that is kind of up in the air as well. So even though their numbers are extremely low COVID-wise, like I'm talking about threes and sevens, it's very much kind of a lockdown borders when something like that happens. So you can see how they're so on top of things. They do go, you know, very, very extreme and very hard on their border closers when something like this happens. But it's business as normal here, and it's lovely to be able to walk outside and there's not a mask in sight, and you can, you know, go into shops and shops are thriving, and it's lovely. It's business as normal, as I said.
Yeah, how did that feel actually the first few days when you were over there, just being living in essentially like a normal society all over again?
Yeah, very surreal, definitely. And I suppose, yeah, you're WhatsApping home then going, geez, we were here today and we did this as well. Like, and I suppose home, unfortunately, you know, mom and dad are keeping me in the loop, and the numbers are very scary. And I suppose you would be very, very worried about people at home and people that you're close to. And I suppose, you know, whereas before, we maybe didn't know too many people who had been affected, whereas now it's very much on doorsteps for people. And it's very unsettling. So I suppose just trying to make sure that everyone is keeping safe at home is the big thing. But here, I suppose, look, thankfully, we're in a position where we can go outside and we can take the small fella to the playground and down to the water and everything. So so it's lovely that we're able to do that, because I can imagine it would be very, very difficult if we were trying to do both over here at the moment.
And I imagine, like you mentioned, your son, and you mentioned your husband as well, the fact that they've been able to travel over with you as well, was that essentially almost the deciding factor in making the move? Would you have stayed home if the option wasn't there for them to go with you?
Oh, 100%. There's no doubt in my mind. I wouldn't have been able to travel without the two boys. No. So, and it actually only happened the week before that I got the clearance on the two of their exemptions. So my clearance had come through a good bit before that. But the two boys didn't get their clearance until I'd say easily 5 days before we left. So it was a fairly stressful couple of weeks in the build up to leaving, not knowing if we were actually going or not, and if I had to ring the club and tell them that I couldn't travel. But look, thankfully it all worked out, and the three of us are together, and we're all still talking, and it's going well so far.
Yeah, and like there's a few Irish players who do have to withdraw in the end, you know, in the lead up to January. But in fairness, like there are still, when I was counting this morning, 14 players from Ireland that travelled over this year for the league. I think it was meant to be around 17 or 18. But it's obvious, like it's clearly a league now that's going from strength to strength over the last few years. Started out with 8 teams, onto 10, 14 by the time last year came around. And unfortunately, they had to curtail the season with COVID. But there's something really exciting about this league and the way it's developed over the last few years, as well as the huge international influence that they've been bringing from not just Ireland, but around the world as well.
Yeah, big time. And I suppose, look, it does bode well for the Irish the way the championship is set up at home, that, you know, there is the ability at the moment to be able to partake in too. You know, obviously, it's probably a lot of communication needed between manager and players, that you know, are they okay to travel? And it's I suppose it is a big decision to make for a lot of girls. And look, thankfully I have finished my playing career with Cork, so you know, I was talking to the club girls, and you know, I've assured them I'll be back around May, June, and ready for a club championship as well. So you know, I find I'm in a good position anyway to travel. I don't know if I was still playing with Cork, would I given it consideration. It's a very hard decision to make. So you know, fair play to the girls for doing both. And yeah, there's loads of girls from different sports. Like I say, a lot of netballers seem to make the transition as well, and there's a couple of basketballers, and there's a few cricket girls as well on the team. So it seems to be a very wide encompassing sport, and very exciting, and it definitely seems to be getting bigger and bigger. I think it's still in its infancy. I think it's only, you know, in the last 5-6 years that it actually has turned professional in Australia. So you can definitely see it building over the coming years, and definitely getting more exposure, and maybe a lot more teams as well. So I don't know if that'll bode well for the Irish girls traveling. More teams will probably mean a longer season. So yeah, I'll just wait and see, I suppose, how things work out.
Yeah, I think one thing, as you said there, it's the amount of players coming from different sporting backgrounds from Australia and around the world as well, is what I actually think makes it such a kind of interesting thing, where there's so many just fascinating stories with individual players. But as you were saying there as well, I imagine one big aspect of it as well that would have enticed you is having played such a long Gaelic football career, that all of a sudden there's the opportunity for these few months to see what it's like being a professional athlete.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose, look, you're you know, when we were playing with Cork, I felt that that was as close to professional as I could have gotten, to be honest. I felt we always played to a very high standard, and there was very high standards always set by management and by all our players. So I absolutely adored playing with Cork. I adored playing with that group of players, and I felt very fortunate to be part of a very successful team. And I suppose when that ended, yeah, it was such a roller coaster, and I was so, so content and happy with my lot. And then for an opportunity like this to come along, you know, it was, I suppose, in my wildest dreams, I couldn't imagine playing in an actual professional setup. And, you know, since I've landed, like, it's just phenomenal. I suppose the difference between the two sports in terms of kind of the amount of funding and the amount of personnel that are involved. It's extremely stats based. And as I said, the amount of time that's dedicated towards meetings, you know, it's something I suppose that we can't do at home, because so many people are, you know, full-time jobs, and you know, it's volunteerism as well. And there isn't probably as much money being driven into ladies football at home as there is, you know, here. All the clubs are linked with AFL men's teams. They all come under the one umbrella. So yeah, it's unbelievable to see, and all the games are free to air as well, I think, on Fox, on Fox TV as well. So it's getting great exposure, and I suppose there's a lot of perks to it. So yeah, it's definitely different. And I think the stats is the biggest thing that I'm noticing at the moment. It's so stats based, it's unreal. So yeah, just, I suppose I'm just hoping that I get to the grips, you know, to the speed of it all, in the next couple of training sessions.
Well, fingers crossed, and I'm sure we'll be checking in with you at some point as well during the season, Bree, to see how it's all going for you. Thanks a million for joining us this evening on the show, and the very best luck for the season ahead, and a happy new year.
Happy new year. Perfect. Thanks a million. Chat to you soon. Bye.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.